Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Everything Is Time podcast. My name is Jeremy.
My name is Ruby.
And today we're doing a topic that will likely come out after when the holiday is.
Right.
Fashionably
late.
Well,
not all of the holidays, but like Thanksgiving.
Spoiler alert. We're doing one kind of related to Thanksgiving, or as much as related to Thanksgiving as we possibly can without just turning into a monologue about food.
Right. At this point, if you've been listening to our episodes, you may think we're not very thankful people. But, you know, this is because we rant about things we hate. But, you know, there are some things we like. So this is our one episode where we'll be ranting about things we actually enjoy.
In the spirit of Thanksgiving, in the very general sense of the word, not the genocide sense of the word.
Exactly. In the spirit of Thanksgiving and only Thanksgiving are we talking about things we like. So I'm very thankful that Jeremy's very coordinated.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That- I definitely don't run into things ever.
Right. Dodges things, you know, physically, emotionally, all around, just great dodger.
No, and the first thing that came to mind, this is, you know, I'm already on a tangent, but this is meant to be fun. Walking in like a marketplace with someone relatively recently, there's just like doors open, right? A normal like person would walk through the doors and it would be fine. For whatever reason, my mind was like, oh yeah, just like walk faster. And I slammed directly into a door that's just open. So I'm very coordinated. People look at me and are like, wow, you know, how are you not an Olympian? Because you're already the male Shakira with that coordination.
What
how are
would you...
you
be as an Olympian?
Mm,
like, what is the most coordinated sport? Is it ice skating?
I was going to say it's maybe like figure skating or something. Or gymnastics maybe?
Oh, you could totally be a gymnast. Well,
I feel like that would require training.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't go up and be like, I'm so coordinated. I run into doors. But, you know, very thankful for you being very coordinated. I would love it if you were an Olympian. I could just like sit at home and be like, yay, Jeremy, from my couch.
Is that your idea of support?
We've covered that like both of us aren't very supportive people. So, you know, I'm definitely more supportive, but
I don't know if that's true.
I feel like you would be like, oh, you're an Olympian after I told you like 10 times.
No, are you kidding? If you were an Olympian, I'd go out of my way to get there and watch you do it.
Would
with
you?
A sign. Oh,
I would feel like, I feel like you would be like, oh yeah, you're an Olympian, right? Where are they hosting it again, Ruby?
And then I would show up with like the most embarrassing of signs.
I would have to put you on like a no entry list. Just talk to like the person who's on my team. Like, you know, don't let him in.
Wow. And this is your example of how supportive
you are. But you're supporting me, right? And I feel like I don't want to be like running track and I just see you from the stands doing some kind of weird chant. Like, I've heard your chants before. I don't think they're going to be, if they're anything like your artwork, I'm in for like a world of trouble.
Well, it'll be very much like interpretive dance, but in chant form. And I'm thankful that Ruby will not notice me walk into the stadium with my signs. I'm very thankful she won't notice that.
Why? Are you going to be wearing like a hoodie and a baseball cap and walk in and just be like, I'm not Jeremy. I'm Jeremy with a cap and a hoodie.
Yeah. Jeremy with a good hoodie. You won't notice me.
Exactly. Just that's all it takes for Jeremy to disguise himself. The best of camp. Like if he was in the Hunger Games, he would just bring a hoodie because that's camouflage to him.
Yeah. I'm thankful for the power of hoodies.
Exactly. He loves Gap. Isn't that like the same thing as Old Navy? I'm thankful for Old Navy commercials. Like they're very obnoxious, but I'm thankful that they have the audacity to like you know it's an Old Navy commercial. You know, like I never have to wonder like, oh, whose commercial is this?
Aren't the Old Navy ones just like jeans are $14.99 and then there are random people frolicking at the screen?
It's like obnoxiously like pigmented colors on a screen moving with different shapes and then people also moving. It's just a lot to look at, but you know it's Old Navy. So I'm not mad at it.
It's like, you know, a Target commercial is a Target commercial.
Yeah, but Target is actually amazing. So like, I don't really, I really love Target and everything that encompasses that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm thankful for Euros because the sandwiches.
Oh, I was thinking like euros, like the currency, and I was so confused. I was like, what?
I'm actually thankful for the Bolivar. No.
I was thinking, is he going to Europe and he just didn't tell me? Like, are you there now? I'm like, why are you thankful for euros?
No, the sandwich, because they make me happy.
Why are you thankful? Oh, okay.
Because they're yummy.
Oh, my bad.
How dare you?
That's interesting. I didn't know every time you saw one of those, just Justin Bieber's yummy was just auto-played in your head.
Well, okay, so in my head, I just like remake the music video, right? But it's all euros just stacked.
So everywhere. Like instead of him sitting by other people at the table, it's just you sitting by a bunch of sandwich. Do you have pink hair though, like he did in the video?
No.
That's disappointing. I think you with pink hair would be kind of everything.
What, you liked him with pink hair in the music video?
I think it'd be great if you had pink hair.
I feel like it'd only be great because then you could mock me that I had pink hair.
I would never mock you.
Oh,
if we learned one thing in our 12 years of friendship is that I would never mock you.
I'm thankful that Ruby feels that she can lie to my face.
On camera, on camera. Recording. No, I mean, that's not true. I would never lie to you. I would never be as malicious as you have towards me. Let's not forget, I have all the artwork portfolios that you've sent me. See,
people will normally pay for artwork. I gave that to you for free.
He gave me trauma for free. I'm so happy. Yeah.
Okay, calm down.
I'm sorry. One of them, literally all of them, were addressing some kind of conflict I had.
That's because you have to see your life in art form to move forward. I'm thankful I was able to draw those pictures so accurately.
Right.
That it really helped you work through those situations.
I'm so thankful that Jeremy took, he was an like illustrator with me and multiple graphic design things with me. And he still can only do a Adobe PDF to like a certain extent to make artwork.
I don't have Adobe anything on my computer.
No, but you used PDF to try to recreate like the, when we were starting, fun fact, when we were starting our podcast, we had to do like cover art and, you know, Canva kind of screwed us over. Although we love you now.
No, we don't.
But like, Jeremy tried with his Adobe PDF. I'm so glad that Jeremy has Adobe PDF skills. That's all I'm willing to say about your artwork.
It's not even Adobe PDF. It's literally the preview application on my computer and it can make shapes.
Oh, I'm so glad Jeremy's just a paint, like...
It's not even Microsoft Paint, because Microsoft Paint, you can kind of like, you have more freedom in terms of like what you're drawing. Yeah. This is like, you can make shapes. Good luck.
Oh.
That's what this was. So the fact that I even got it as close as it got.
Right. Thank God for Jeremy's artistic abilities.
Yeah. On my LinkedIn profile, it just says Van Gogh Dancer.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's both. We love that. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see that like profile picture.
You and you alone.
You and me, right? Exactly. Me and me alone.
This is going to be really random. Are you thankful for fabric softener or no?
I've never thought about that.
Like, do we think it does anything?
I don't think so. But I just buy soft clothes anyway. So like, it's just really soft. So I don't really care.
I just buy soft clothes. I just wear blankets.
Right. Yeah, that's what I do. I walk around Target. And I just like feel the clothes and I'm like, okay, what is the softest item? And then I buy it. I'm so thankful for Starbucks for having a Taylor Swift drink.
They have a Taylor Swift drink?
I haven't had it yet. Yeah. So you like go to Starbucks and you can ask for Taylor's drink, right? And they'll give you like whatever promotion that is. I haven't done that, but I heard about it.
So you're thankful for something you haven't done.
Yeah, exactly. I just think it's interesting that they would do that. I don't know. I like Starbucks. I'm thankful for Starbucks in the sense that like they have great coffee. So
I'm thankful for coffee. It's the reason why I'm awake right now.
Coffee's a lifesaver.
It is a lifesaver. Gosh, I had something and then I lost it. Oh, I'm thankful for Adele released a new album.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful for new music after 84 years.
Right, exactly.
Have you heard it yet?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts, feelings?
I mean, it's Adele. It's all good. So it's like, do I really have thoughts and opinions on that?
I mean, I'm sure there are people that don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And we don't talk to those people. No, I liked it. I liked it. So I'm thankful that that album's out. I'm curious. This is a tangent. Who cares? I don't know what they're going to pick for the next single.
I don't know. I don't even think about those types of things. I'm like, it's out. It's great. I'm so thankful for, like, it is Silk Sonic. I didn't know if it was Silk Sonic or the other way around. So thankful for them.
They're what is great. That? Love them. Is that a band?
Yeah, Bruno Mars. You haven't heard of Silk Sonic? R&B duo, Bruno Mars and Anderson. What, I can't pronounce his last name. Is it Pac? I think so.
Oh, wait, maybe I've seen like an ad for them. Is there like
their new song, Smoking Out the Window, Everything.
Okay, I haven't actually listened to it yet. And maybe
Everything. Oh my gosh. They're like interview with a night with Silk Sonic. Their music is great. Love it.
Is it? Is this a new like collaboration? I don't think I've heard of this before.
Yeah. It started with it's fairly new, I guess. I'm sure you've heard Leave the Door Open. No.
No. I don't listen. You should
look up there. Yeah, Everything. So thankful for them. Very quality music.
If I look it up and it's the equivalent of like My Humps, I'm gonna send you like an
Smoking Out the Window is amazing. You should definitely watch the music video. It's everything. Yeah. Also, them singing live was also really great. They're just great musicians. He doesn't trust me when it comes to music. I'm so thankful Jeremy trusts me so much when it comes to me recommending stuff. It's not like I've ever recommended something bad. So
I don't know. I guess we don't really talk about music that much. Like recommending music to each other is not something we normally do.
We talk about stuff we hate. That's the through line. We talk about stuff we hate a lot. So we really don't recommend good stuff to each other. It's mostly like, I hate this. How do you feel about it? And then we present it on a platter. We're like, this sucks. So you need to watch it now. Literally yeah. though, like, I don't think I've ever sent you something that I like. It's always like, oh my gosh, TLC has best funeral show. You need to see this right now.
Yeah. Go ahead. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about you being thankful for your Instagram sugar daddy or not.
To clarify, I don't have an Instagram sugar daddy.
We almost had one.
Yeah, no, this was...
This was so funny. Demented
conversations. Like I said, we really bandwagon onto stuff we hate or stuff we find amusing. Like, those two categories are really the largest ones in our friendship. It's not like... It's not nostalgia. It's not even like meaningful stuff we talk about. It's literally, I've gotten so many people who've been like, oh yeah, like, you know, the longer you know someone, you can just have like really deep conversations. They're so meaningful. And then I can't like a conversation with Jeremy. And it's just like, sometimes our best conversations are the most idiotic ones. Like literally. And they'll last for like hours of us just, and we were on the phone also, like, we'll be on the phone, not saying a thing, and then just texting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this conversation about that person following us was, I don't know how to describe it.
It's so funny.
It's just like the perfect profile picture I've ever seen in my life. It's so funny. And I sent it to Jeremy and I was like, this person's following us.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah. So I'm so thankful for that.
We're thankful for him, for the content.
I don't think he's following us anymore. So, you know, we're pretty sad that like, that did happen.
We're sad that we don't have that lucrative venture anymore.
It is delusional, and it's honestly, it's kind of terrifying because like you have a thing on the iPhone where you can look back, see all the photos you sent, and there's just like multiple rows of the very good chunk of our photos is just this one photo with no context because it doesn't have like our text underneath it. So that's a little creepy, but like, you know, it works.
It works, yeah. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I can have that kind of conversation with you. I don't think I can have that conversation with anybody else.
I don't think I could send that picture and then it just go into like a 2-hour conversation with just like different quotes underneath it. I'm thinking of the screenshot I took, and that will forever be one of my favorite screenshots ever. It was great. I'm also thankful for like, I'm not thankful for JJ the Jet Plane. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for the one episode of Skylandia that JJ the Jet Plane decided to release. They could have released that and nothing else, and it would be iconic.
The way you worded that, like JJ was in the director's booth, like, okay, we got to release this one.
I mean,
what would that look like though? There's a gigantic plane in the editor's booth being like, yes, I wing wiggle to this.
Right. He's calling the shots now.
Right.
JJ is directing and acting and starring in his own TV show.
Wow. Hopefully he gets paid accordingly.
He was like, Herky, just fly, you know, a little crooked, kind of like you're drunk, but you're not. I'm sure you're thankful for Herky.
I'm thankful for
whoever decided Herky was important enough, but also not that important to put on a Pokemon card to make because whoever did that obviously thought he was good enough to put on a card, but also gave him no abilities whatsoever. It was like, he flies and he's great at flying.
Was it like attack fly, but then also defense was fly?
It wasn't
fly?
Even attack fly. It was like fly. It said they thought by putting fly in like different tenses, it was different thing. It was like good at flying, has flight. It's like, that's not a power. Like, okay.
But also, is he good at flight though?
He's not. Yeah. Honestly, you would be dead if you were him in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Can you imagine? Wait. Can you imagine Super Smash? I love Super Smash Bros. Can you imagine if there's like a whole thing of JJ characters that you can unlock?
Yes, I would play this. Are you crazy?
Wait. When Herky gets the star, he just has the Joker jester costume on. That's like his power or whatever.
What does he do?
What does he do on a normal basis? Sings, yodels. You just hear yodeling and everybody's just knocked off the platform.
I mean, that's fair. Would they? So are they, what like kind of scaling is it? Are they gigantic planes or are they like tiny planes?
They're like the same scaling as all the other Smash Bros. Characters, but they have different powers. So like maybe if one of them gets like that power source or whatever, they can turn into gigantic planes and that's like their superpower or whatever.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. They each have different, like Snuffy is just like the propeller smoke.
Whenever that's released, I'll be very thankful.
So you're saying you're not thankful for JJ currently?
I was referring to specifically JJ characters within Super Smash Bros.
Somebody needs to get on that, whoever is in charge of that. We need that to happen.
Also, whoever's in charge of that, can we interview you? Like, what is your job? Like, we want to know.
I feel like that's something, but also that would kind of be everything.
What if we were able to interview someone who, like, was on JJ the Jet Plane, like involved in creating it? That would be fascinating.
You start sending emails, Jeremy. I feel like that wouldn't be that difficult. It's not like we're reaching out to someone who's part of a huge show. It's like you made 2 seasons of a horribly scaled plane show on PBS. Will you please do an interview with us?
Well, TLC. Not PBS, TLC.
What if that like launched us into the realm of like just interviewing other people on TLC? This can be our foot in the door. We start small with JJ. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, we're on like 90 Fiancé being like, so why are you on this show?
No, I really think that would be fascinating. Just being like, well, did y'all know that the characters looked like they, like how they looked, or, and y'all were fine with it? Or was there no budget?
I want to whoever voiced Herky. I want to be like, so what accent were you going for? Exactly.
Yeah, that would be...
You know, it would be really fascinating to, like, interview Brenda. Mm. I would love to know how that filming process went of, like...
I'm sure
saying
just
lines,
like,
to imaginary planes.
Her in front of a green screen, hoping for the best, probably, right?
We'll, you know, figure out if that's actually possible. That'd be fun, though. I think that would be something that's at least... not insane. I can't see. It's not like a huge show. It had like 2 seasons and it also like
no
one
remembers
it.
It had more than two.
It had 2 seasons, I think. I'm pretty sure JJ the Jet Plane only had 2. What are they going to make the episodes about, Jeremy? They can't have like 10 seasons like Friends. This isn't Friends with JJ the Jet Plane. Like,
no, that I would watch. I'd watch that version of Friends.
You would watch anything if it was replaced with JJ characters.
Absolutely. Because it makes everything insane. God, what do you mean you would not?
I'm sorry. If you showed me like some kind of super serious movie, but with JJ the Jet Plane, it's just The Imitation Game, but it's JJ the Jet Plane. Are you kidding me? No. He cracked Enigma. Right. Exactly.
Okay. But like, think about Interstellar, but it's JJ.
But wouldn't that just be the episode where he went to space all over again? Except he's like, it's nothing like what I read about.
They just like ends up behind a bookshelf.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Arrival, but the aliens are JJ.
It's just Bride Wars. JJ. You know, We're very thankful for JJ the Jet Plane.
We are.
I don't, maybe this is just like a, like, I can't figure out if this is like a universe thing where it's only funny to us and everybody outside thinks that it's stupid. Or if
I don't
just,
think so.
Have you showed it to other people and have they thought
it was funny? I'm not walking around being like, let me show you this show about cartoon planes from the late 90s.
I mean, I haven't, but I feel like even if I did, people would be like, this is dumb. What is this?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Oh, I mean, I'm thankful they're finally the new Wicked movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The cast was released for that. And I'm like, all right with it. I'm not thankful for, though, the fact that James Corden has found his way into another movie musical. I don't understand that. But I'm thankful Cynthia Erivo's in it. So there's my upside. But I would love to know who keeps being like, oh, you know what this movie needs? James Corden. Has anyone ever said that before? Like, really? Ever?
I don't know. What else are we thankful for, Jeremy?
I mean, I guess on a more serious note, I'm thankful for this podcast. I'm thankful for that you're willing to do it with me. It's been a lot of fun. And it's going to continue, hopefully, being a lot of fun.
You, it's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun, but
goodbye.
Like...
We're ending. It was a one-year trial.
It's been a good experience. At least for me. I'm only speaking for me. Maybe you secretly hate it.
No, it's a lot of fun. And I think it's funny because it's like our episodes that were funny in the past, I feel like are going to send years into the future. Mm-hmm. When we're like in our late 20s and we're like, why in the world were we ranting about saving democracy and Vanessa Hudgens? Also, a lot of inside jokes have come from this. So like, I'm pretty happy about that.
This is true. We've mm-hmm. gained a whole arsenal of new stuff.
I think, us slowly becoming the same person is also happening quite frequently.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't really know what a podcast with someone else would really look like. I don't think it'd be as chaotic. I don't think I would have been like, yes, Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny, must watch. I don't think they would have sat through that with me after the Ice Cream Bunny didn't show up for at least the good chunk of the movie.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I picked the modern version of that this week that we'll get to.
I think we're even. Yeah, this evens us out. I'm calling
for it all movies ever? No, not even remotely.
Well, but if
not
you think
even
about
remotely.
No, if you think about it.
No.
Right? Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny was my worst pick, according to you.
Don't, no.
And this was your
lies. That is not your worst pick. That's not even like, no. That's not even, that's probably upper tier Ruby pick, honestly. Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny is a top five
I'm
Ruby
so
pick.
I'm so thankful for my ability to pick good movies. Jeremy just can't recognize.
I will admit, I'm always flabbergasted by your ability to set a new bar in terms of films that we sit through. I don't think we've ever had a, okay, we didn't review this one, but if y'all ever go see The Bat that has Vincent Price in it, don't. That was one that Ruby picked that we just couldn't watch because we both fell asleep.
I fell asleep for 40 minutes. I Same. Literally still don't know what happened.
I kind of know what happened. So there was like 25, 30 minutes where I fell asleep.
All I know is it's like Vincent Price and apparently he's not a bat. Spoiler alert. Like literally, I thought he was the bat and he's not. No. Honestly, I know about the same amount of information I know of that movie than not watching it. We learned nothing watching it. We could have literally read like a synopsis and known more.
I felt terrible at the time. Like, oh no, I fell asleep for 25 minutes. I feel really bad. And then I talked to you like, I also fell asleep.
I fell asleep for like 40 minutes. So I really didn't know what was going on. And I was like, what in the world is going on, Jeremy? Because like the whole place is on fire, like in the movie. And I was like, what is happening? Not my house, but like their house.
Yeah, my house was burning down. I'm like, weird.
Yeah, maybe it's Vincent Price. Maybe it's Maybelline. We're like, maybe it's Vincent Price.
It's just Vincent Price with like eyeshadow.
Honestly, yeah. If it weren't for this podcast, if you think about it, we wouldn't have seen Monos. We wouldn't have seen Dr. Goldfoot and the Girl Bombs.
No Willie Jamali.
Oh my gosh. Still everything. I love that movie so much.
It's a very cute movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is great, honestly. I wish they'd make a sequel, but I don't even know what that would be, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, my understanding of what they're doing is they have like a whole series of like home videos that they're turning into things. So I don't know if they're going to do a sequel or not, but I hope that they do something similar. They did a good job with like no budget, and it proves you can make a decent movie with no budget. So
I think we could make a decent movie also. I say that, but then I also don't know, like, we're really good at coming up with stuff. I don't know how great we'd be at executing that. I don't think we could star in it. I think that would be a disaster. Considering like our previous, like, we haven't even mentioned this on our podcast before, but we had like a history video project that we're never releasing to the public because it's the lines in that are a lot.
Okay.
The plot is a lot.
To be fair, we rewatched it in real life, maybe a month.
In real life, as opposed to in our dreams. Jeremy was like,
I relive it every night. No, we rewatched it and you're like, Jeremy, just to warn you, it's not funny. The lines aren't funny.
I didn't say it's not funny. I said it's just a lot for turning into a school project.
I mean, should we give the general plot of it or should we just
You wrote the plot. So why don't you lay it out for people?
Well, I'm trying. I don't want to get anything wrong. So please correct me if I'm wrong. But we were talking about, I think it was the court system or something. And we had to create a video project for the history class about, you know, what that is and make it turn into something creative, I think was the idea.
Right. And we were given a group. Well, mm-hmm.
We picked a group. And let me tell you, we didn't plan tons. So it was me and another person kind of writing the script.
And let me tell you, the way the script came out, you could definitely tell the brilliant minds behind the script.
Okay, but I stand by the lines. They're funny.
Why don't you tell them what it's about first?
It's about, okay. So Paula Deen is like on trial because... it was on trial for aiding and abetting terrorists with her chimichangas. Mm-hmm. And so it goes into like a recount of like where she was in relation to the terrorists that day. So we had a whole scene. It was disappointing also because like we had someone edit it and they didn't edit it properly. So we did a whole scene where one of the people who was playing Paula Deen had like a stick of butter and a spatula.
Oh, re-edited that.
You did. And it made it great. And it was recounting like the whole situation, like, no, I am not guilty. I couldn't be there. And then pan to scene of her in a bathtub with butter and a spatula.
That was the Paula Deen costume, by the way. It was like a wig and a spatula.
I did go to Party City and get a Paula Deen quote unquote wig.
Was that actually what it was under?
Paula Deen? No, but they can't call it that. But so it was pretty gray wig. But it had someone on the cover that looked similar-ish to her. Like that's what it's supposed to be. Like they can't be like, this is a Cher wig or this is a Britney Spears wig or whatever, because they don't have the licensing for that. So they'll be like, here is a wig that is like a pop star. But yeah, that was essentially the plot of it. So then like she ends up, there's some holes here, but she goes into trial where I believe the jury is a bunch of stuffed animals. You're the main juror, so that's like you're integral to this whole process of like determining if she's guilty or not. And it ends with like her biting into an Idaho potato.
So she just like, the whole thing is her recounting what happened. And so it just goes through like a bunch of scenes of her doing stuff, kidnapping someone for some reason. I don't really know why that was happening. Dragging them to Idaho, biting into a potato. We had an allergic reaction to the potato. And then she ended up in jail. And then like they were like prosecuting her for those crimes. And she ends up being guilty.
Right.
Which was interesting. And then there's some other random scenes that really, I don't know how they fit in there, but everybody else in our class filmed their project in one afternoon and we took 2 full days because the amount of time it took to get the lines right, make sure people weren't laughing in scenes, recording properly, making sure the camera was on while we were recording was so obnoxiously long. So yeah.
Well, the thing that took the most time were Paula Deen's confession scene and then the scene where we were discussing, or the witnesses were discussing what they saw with Paula Deen.
Yeah, you kept changing your lines. So it was like,
well, we did it like 40 times. And I'm like, I don't want to say the same line 40 times.
But then you're the people who were there also weren't expecting you to say what you were gonna say, and then they laugh, and it was like a cycle. Anyway, I don't think we'd be very successful at starring in our own movie. I feel like we could direct it well, but we would be trash. Yeah. At like trying to be in it.
We can write laughing. It.
Yeah, we've written some great scripts in the past. So, you know, you can trust us.
Yeah, like our Spirit Week skit.
We'll have a whole episode just about the about Spirit Week. I want a whole episode just about the chaoticness of.
Yeah, have we told, have we told that story about writing the script on here?
I think we did. It was a very obnoxious. Have we mentioned Spirit Week before? I know we've mentioned.
We mentioned it, in depth
to the point where we like, and we wrote a script.
We'll have to go into more detail on. I think we might have, but
I don't think we've done a whole episode about Spirit Week. But that would be kind of everything because, like, making a cover that's designed to look like what Spirit Week was kind of sends me.
That's gonna be so chaotic.
I mean, I have pictures from Spirit Week, mm-hmm. and I could totally do that easily. But also, that would be insane because, you know,
yeah.
Also, maybe problematic. So
just a smidge. Yeah, I don't know. But I like I said before, I'm thankful for the podcast and for doing it with you. Do you have any other things you're thankful for? I know we're thankful for this movie. So, you know, that's a
right. gift. I'm really thankful that the whole entire like team on the Hannah Montana movie decided to donate all of the clothing to this movie that we just watched, you know?
Yeah. So the movie I picked, it's my fault. This is not the worst movie we've seen.
This is so sad. Jeremy picked a sad movie, and so I'm calling us even because this movie was sad.
Okay, we'll go through the plot and we'll determine how sad it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the movie is called Bigfoot, UFOs, and Jesus, which Ruby is describing as a sad film.
It is a sad film. That's what makes it sad, is you don't expect like a sad story. And then all of a sudden it's like this girl about in her trauma. And I texted Jeremy. I was like, why are you making me watch this? It's like sad.
This movie is interesting to me because as we were both watching it, I'm like, this is sort of a Hallmark movie on crack, but also about Jesus. So when you're watching it in real time, it feels weird, but not as chaotic in any individual moment. But when you think back to the plot, it's absolutely insane. Like it opens with two random men sitting in a car near a dock and you're like, okay, who are these people?
And one's writing a sermon, or like he wrote down like a line for like a sermon. They see a UFO, or I guess they don't call them UFOs in this movie. They call them UFAs, which is like unidentified flying angel. Yeah. And then one of them gets abducted at the beginning. Well, he doesn't get abducted. He dies of a heart attack.
This was unclear. I don't know if he dies because there's like an electrical shock to like a pacemaker, or if he dies out of pure joy of seeing the angel. Well, if
you
saw
a UFA, wouldn't you die of a heart attack, Jeremy?
I don't know what I would not look to the sky, see a light and be like, it's an unidentified flying angel. I had lots of questions about how they're like, this is what this is. Although it does kind of send me to think that it's the angel from Barbarella.
Pygar?
It's Pygar. I want to be just Pygar flying around. I'd be here for that.
That edit though? Okay. Anyway.
Some ideas for their cover art.
I'm not putting Pygar in the sky as a pastor dies on the ground from a heart attack. That doesn't sound very Christian, Jeremy.
Maybe they'll just say, whoa, Pygar, your six pack is making me feel things. Boom,
it's just a light beam off of his six pack onto this poor pastor who's on the floor dying of a heart attack. That's the cover art. That six pack gave me a heart attack. That's the title of the episode. I'm pretty sure that like this pastor dies of a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And then, but it's not even explained. Like nothing really happened. And then you just pan to this pop star. She's supposed to be from the South. And I told Jeremy that he could do a better like Southern. You should do this review using your Southern accent. It's great. It's wonderful. I don't know how you can do it, but okay.
Does it pan directly to her or no?
It does. Well, like you're shown like a stage that she's having like an interview because she's like a pop star.
Well,
so you know that this is his daughter who is a pop star, and she just like goes off on this interview, and then they had to stop, and then her like manager's like, you can't keep doing this, blah 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 blah. So,
well, I mean, it was unclear immediately to me because I'm like, okay, they claim she's a pop star, but then she's in Nashville doing country music. I'm like, oh right. I mean, I guess maybe crossover, sure. She's doing the interview holding a glass of wine. I'm like, but the issue is that she's having too much alcohol. So why does she have a glass of wine in her hand during the interview?
This is where we realized that like her outfit choices were going to be pretty bad. Like she didn't start off with a great outfit.
This was so weird. I was looking at it. Is it like a silk robe? But then it's also a
honestly,
top?
This is one of her better outfits. And we said it was bad.
It so was bad.
Think, I mean, it wasn't compared to her other outfits that she wears. No.
Yeah.
But no, she like her wardrobe is problematic, but she's also very problematic. Mm-hmm. So like she's super mad at her dad, and it becomes clear like through flashbacks that, like he was like super abusive, and it's so sad. And then I was like, mm-hmm. Jeremy, why did you pick a sad movie? Because well, she goes to this tiny town. Who, by the way, I had questions about this. The town sign is like home. Her name is Hannah Sweet, right? This whole town's identity. Like when you go into town, it says home of Hannah Sweet. And I had so many questions because people like obviously knew her, who she was, but like it wasn't ever stated that she was like a huge mega star, you know, not like Ariana Grande or something.
I think it can be implied that she's a big star. I was confused by that because I thought that she didn't have much connection to the town at all. Because there, I thought it would be
she
conflict.
Doesn't, but I could still see them claiming, oh, like, this is where she was born. But oh, okay. I just didn't think she was, like, that big of a star. Also, to have it on your welcome sign, like...
It's a lot. It's yeah. It.
And then she, like, goes to this cafe that is really not that cute. And, like, she yeah. meets this cousin of hers. And her boyfriend, the cousin and her boyfriend are, like... an interesting couple. And then there's this old guy who was like the guy who was at the original I don't know their names, the guy who was like with the guy who had the heart attack sees her, and then I don't know, they all talked.
Well, the guy who was writing the sermon next to the guy who had a heart attack sees her,
right yeah, and yeah. She goes back outside and her tire is just like flat.
This made me so mad. So she's like, my car is broken. I'm going to have to call for a replacement. And it's just that she could just fill up the tire with air and drive somewhere. And then she's like, no, my car is in disrepair. And I'm like, what is, what?
Anyway.
And it made no sense to me.
But then she goes to this house where like.
Well, she drives with the old yeah. the sermon guy to the house. Yeah.
She has a half brother and his name is Chip. And he's the best thing in this movie, honestly. He's the best 1,000%. Character. Yep. Everything. And he like, okay, so he has Down syndrome and he's her half brother.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And so the whole movie, he's just kind of like doing his own thing, which like we stan, because he's like looking for Bigfoot, which is how Bigfoot comes into the title. At this point, I was like, Jeremy, there's no UFOs or Bigfoot. Or
well, there was a UFO at the beginning.
So UFA. They couldn't even get it right in the title. And like literally... She meets her half-brother, and then the strangest, what I can only describe as the strangest setup for, like, funeral arrangements is, like, you walk into the house and then, like, just pan to the, like, I don't know what that room is called. It wasn't the
like
living
a,
room.
Like a parlor, maybe, or a...
It's just, like, a funeral setup. They just had someone laying dead in a cat. I mean, the guy laying dead, not just a random person. Right. Like, they had, like, the guy who was killed by the UFA laying dead in the coffin.
See, but think about the sentence you just said. They had the guy who was killed by a UFA laying in a coffin in their living room.
It is also a really sad movie because, like, she's going to this town and she sees her mother, and then they have, like,
We'll get there. We need to talk more about this. I have logistical questions. Is the woman who lives in the house, who is her aunt, I think. Oh, the age difference. We'll get there too. But is her aunt... Is she like a funeral director? Like, why is the body just being housed in the house?
She's not. Like, they just wanted it there until they were going to have a funeral. So they're just like, oh, yeah, just keep it here or something. I don't really know.
It was so confusing. It seemed like the funeral was like 2 days after.
It was a small town, Jeremy. They didn't have a funeral home. So you just had to keep it in your home. Every home is a funeral home. So, like, I'm pretty sure that, like, essentially her aunt and her look the same age.
The aunt might have looked younger. I'll say it.
I thought they were sisters. So I was very confused when she's like aunt. And I was like, what? It's so strange because Chip and the cousin look like they're the same age. But then like.
Chip and the, oh,
and her cousin look like they're the same age, the same age bracket. But like her and her aunt, like she looks way too old to be playing whatever role this was.
Yeah.
This should have been a C. If you told me this is a CW movie, everything would make sense. The plot, the casting, the everything would make sense under that pretense. But like, no. Mm-hmm. So it like she weird. They have she has moments though. It's such a sad movie because then she like, meets her mom, and then her mom's like the sweetest thing.
And the mom also looked younger than her. The mom, I'm like, this can't be her mom. There's no way.
It's questionable. But like so sweet. And then like
mom was nice, yeah.
It was so sad because you kept having these flashbacks of like her being abused, and then it was so sad, but then it also just like panned. Like there's this really this one weird scene where she was like riding a bicycle and she's having these horrible flashbacks. And then 2 seconds later, she like crashes. And then, oh, we forgot to introduce. So there's this other guy who's like not really introduced. He's just there.
Oh,
and he's wearing like the bikers from SpongeBob, right? Like that outfit, but then with like Bob the Builder on top of that.
It is very like Boy Scout construction worker.
But he like finds her and then he's like, oh yeah, I'll drive you back to town. So she keeps having these weird excursions where she's just having like flashbacks and then she gets all mad and stuff. And it's just sad.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the other thing. The reason why I struggle to call this movie sad is because the framing of it is so bizarre that you can't really like perceive it as being sad. Like the moments where the flashbacks happen and you see the abuse, like, oh, this is bad. And then it'll pan to, you know, her on a bicycle running into a tree and you'll be like, what is this? Or it'll be a scene where it's like an unidentified flying angel, or the one that drove me nuts where it's like the mom is like, I have stage 3 cancer. I thought that was going to be a whole deep like conversation about it. And then they walk into her backyard and then there's a 2-minute conversation about cannabis. Here's a really impactful moment. Pan to the weed garden. And it's like, what?
They mixed very serious stuff with just the most insane. Like, it was like, it was like wrong environment for all these very serious things to happen. Like, they were having a funeral, but it wasn't. That's another thing. They were having like a funeral, but it was like an outdoor picnic in someone's front yard. And like, because no one was wearing black. I remember Jeremy being like, why is no one wearing black? Like, maybe they're not that traditional. But then they're also like UFAs. So like, I don't know. Like they have gingham like picnic stuff out at this funeral.
Very odd.
And it's so strange. And the Papa Roxy shows up and she like storms away. And the guy who like scares the Papa Roxy away is Mr. like Bob the Builder motorcycle gang guy, right? Which is insane. And then everybody claps for him. And then you just pan to her being all sad about flashbacks. But there's this other deep, there's this deeper plot that's happening. So one plot, this one sent me the most. There's a bridge where you sell your soul to the devil. Oh. I kill you. I died when I heard that because it's very like nonchalantly brought up because
sure.
I forgot.
It's just something
cousin,
you do.
The cousin has like a whole story arc going on where she wants to be a singer, like the next American Idol. And she doesn't know if she's her boyfriend or like the being a singer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's thinking about selling her soul to become a pop star, which is a very weird subplot. And then like later on, you're just finding a bunch of people in this town have just sold their souls at this random bridge. But they don't really tell you how that actually happens, like the process of that. And then you like later find out that like the main girl who has like trauma, like Miley Cyrus wannabe, she like sold her soul to the devil to like be famous. And so now she's trying to like reverse that. So like the last like 30 minutes of the movie is like her with like the pastor and like the cousin going to this bridge to reverse her soul being sold.
This was so weird because
it was the dumbest plot that could be added to this. It was literally the strange. It was one of the best plots I've seen in a movie because it could not be the most stupidest plot I've ever heard.
You know, the part that was great about it is they made it. It's even more convoluted than that because
it's because like, it's not a main plot. It's a subplot, but like.
But then it's the climax of the film.
So much weight as a subplot. It makes it would be like, you just can't glaze over that. Like the whole movie, what annoyed me so much and what set me so hard was that the main focus of this movie was the trauma. Right. When all the subplots were way more insane than it. It was like you have this line of trauma, and then you're just casually sprinkling in, oh yeah, people selling their soul to the devil, someone looking for Bigfoot. It's like, wait, you can't gloss over that.
No, not at all.
But they did. They did sprinkle in like maybe 10 lines, and that's it. And they wouldn't give you anything else for like another 30 minutes. And then you'd mention it again. You're like, wait, that's happening. Like, people are losing their souls on this bridge. Like, what is happening?
It was the reason. Okay. So the ending 30 minutes is a lot. And there are two things that are happening. One, Chip is going to try to find Bigfoot with cat food and honey, along with construction worker Bob the Builder Man. The second plot is the devil plot, but it's even more confusing because up-and-coming pop girl goes to main pop girl and is like, yo, I want to, or I sold my soul to the devil, but I can't, I need help with this. And so they get the help of pastor dude, who then agrees to help them out, drives them there, pulls out anointing oil, which appears to be just like olive oil, it's unclear. They get there, and it turns out that the cousin actually didn't sell her soul to the devil, but was just trying to entice the main girl to go there and get her soul back.
Right. Which she's like, I did it for you, blah, blah, blah.
But it was so weird. Like, and in the moment, I'm like, what? So you didn't actually, but then she did, and then
at the same time, like, because Chip is like in the forest with Bob the Builder, mm-hmm. and like he has that like microphone that's like growls or whatever.
Yes,
like think the remote from iCarly on like a loudspeaker, and so then like literally they just hear growling and they like freak out, which like honestly same, but it's so strange. And then like at the end, they come running out of the woods, and then the pastor and the two pop stars, whatever their names are, like are in the middle of the road. And then the mom and the aunt show up out of literally nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Also, like, if you had to be in one of these scenarios, which one would you rather be in? Like in the forest trying to catch Bigfoot, or like trying to reverse your soul from being taken by Satan?
In the forest catching Bigfoot. 1,000%.
Although I wanted to see the process of this. So at the same time, I'm like,
I was going to ask you, did we actually see the process of her soul getting reverted? It was just like two sentences and then they ran away. Is that all it takes?
Because then she's like, because
she didn't actually do it, right?
It seemed she didn't actually do it. Yeah, she saw a UFA like back in the day that like apparently saved her from abuse. Like that was the line. She didn't actually like save her. She didn't sell her soul. But at the end, like they all look up and they see another UFA. And that's when she realized, oh, that's my, like, it's my dad, something or other. I don't know.
That's it. Yeah, I don't know.
But so also, you just, like, turn into UFAs when you die? Is that, like, the whole premise? Is that you're not an angel, you're a UFA?
Maybe it's, like, if you're, like, an angel that enjoys travel.
Well, wouldn't every angel be a UFA? Unidentified flying angel, technically?
I mean...
It's not like they're hovercrafts and they're angels. They're just angels, like, literally.
Yeah, the angels that don't have their name tags yet are UFAs.
Right, unidentified. Otherwise, you're just like a flying Jeremy angel. Like, you're not.
It's like one of those blimps or planes that has the sign in the back or something.
The Dr. Goldfoot blimp.
For sure, yeah. Also, the thing we didn't talk about that we need to go into more detail about, her outfit and hair journey. This movie.
The hair set me because, like, in one every scene, it would go back and forth. It was like, it was a different color, or the worst thing was like when she had a curly and then the next shot she just straight as a pin. It's like, was it like really humid here? You can't even claim that because it's
I mean, they must have filmed it on different days and they just didn't think about it. That's what had to have happened.
It was so bad. But her outfit,
oh my god,
there were so many scenes of her brooding in the woods with horrible outfits.
It's true. What was okay, I think the worst outfit was probably the one where it was a tank top that was bedazzled with skinny jeans and then like
beige boots. That's not the worst one.
What's the worst?
Did you see the one with a weird back that she had on at the end? It was very strange.
Oh, like during the church service?
I don't know. This is the other thing we need to address.
We thought the first funeral was the funeral, but then there was another funeral, even though only one person died.
He was very well loved.
I remember talking to him like, I'm so confused. They already had the funeral. Why are they having another one?
And they were all dressed in black this time, but then she's also at a church, but in white this time. So it's very confusing.
None of the outfits were good. They kept getting worse. Like each one was worse than the last one.
And it was really bizarre. Also didn't go with anything. So it was just like, I don't even
know. Oh no. The one that made me laugh, the very first outfit where it's like red, like a red top with like flowers and then latex black pants.
It was so horrible.
It was so like, was is so this bad. Bootleg Carmen Sandiego? Like, what is this? This movie was insane.
And then, like the end, like she drives away, and then she comes back and shows up at the funeral. And then there's this the guitar, right? We didn't even mention this.
Oh my god!
I'm very confused. And maybe Jeremy can explain what went on.
I can.
So this is maybe like the third, fourth funeral that's happened because there's another one out in the graveyard. Hopefully, this is the last one because they're burying this body. So like literally, this casket is there, and there's a guitar, and then like the sermon guy gives it to her, and then she just starts weeping because on the back of the guitar it says like, God forgave us or something.
Yeah. I think it was
so confused. Why in the world did she start weeping?
So I think the through line is one of her like flashback scenes. Her abusive father took her guitar and smashed it. So my understanding was that since it was her father that died, this was his way of like leaving something to her as a way of retribution for that.
Did he leave it to her or did he just have it for himself?
No, I think, I think he had it, but was meant to go to her. So it was like, here's a guitar that looks very similar to the one you originally had. The part that was like a little strange, it wasn't engraved. Okay. Don't think that it was engraved. It was someone went to like Joanne Fabric or God forbid Hobby Lobby. Don't go to Hobby Lobby, separate conversation. And got like glitter glue and just kind of like wrote some words on it.
I thought it was scratched into the guitar with like a stick. It didn't look very good.
I don't know. I thought it was glittery. And I'm like, how?
This movie was a lot, but also nothing.
This movie was strange.
Oh, and it ends with the American Idol girl singing. And then you just pan to all the other people who are like in the town doing whatever.
Yeah. This is also a movie where American Idol girl will sing and magical instruments will appear out of nowhere. We also never see the main pop girl sing, now that I think about it.
Yeah, that's true. But given our record of picking, you know, great movies of singing in it, I would not have been, I'm not that disappointed, honestly. But what would we give this movie?
I don't know how to rate this because as a movie, it's confusing because it tries to be I don't know if it tries to be a serious movie.
I'm giving this an 8 for the plot of Devil's Cell. I can't get over the audacity of having a subplot as they're selling their souls to the devil on a bridge. We're going to casually mention it every 20 minutes, but not do anything about it or explain to the audience what that is.
And the audacity of it never being true. This is the entire plot. They actually never sold their soul.
But there is a Bigfoot.
There originally wasn't a Bigfoot. And then at the end, we figure out it's real. Maybe.
So the only thing that's missing that was in the title is Jesus, quite honestly.
I wouldn't have been mad if Bigfoot was Jesus.
What would that even be?
Like a super-sized Jesus.
Super-sized. But that's Bigfoot?
Why not? Jesus is multifaceted. He is the moment.
That's the quote for the episode. That's the only that's the only description under the episode. Jesus is multifaceted. He is the moment. Watch our episode. Stream now.
So I don't know how to rate this. You're right. Okay. It's an insane.
It's insane. It's the stupidest plot. Like literally, like I said, Ice Cream Bunny is a better plot than this. Well, it makes
more sense. Ice Cream Bunny has very two distinct plots. It has the plot of Ice Cream Bunny and then whatever narrative Santa chooses. This is not that.
If you think about it, we can relate more to Santa going on narratives. He's like us. He's one of us, Jeremy. You have to give him points for that.
I could relate to Chip was very much like in line with us. Like we're thinking that this thing exists and we're doing random stuff to go try to figure it out.
Chip and Bob the Builder are our vibes.
1,000%.
Like literally us in a nutshell. Sometimes I'm Bob the Builder. Sometimes Jeremy's Bob the Builder.
It depends. Yeah.
It really just depends.
Yeah. It depends who has the metal detector that day.
Right. I'm very skilled with the metal detectors.
You are. Yeah. Yeah. I'd say 7. I'm giving it a lower score than you, I think. Just, I don't know why.
The audacity. The side plots. I sold my soul to the devil to be a American Idol is one side plot. The other one is I'm trying to find Bigfoot in the forest with cat food and what? Honey.
A cat food and honey was the mixture.
And then the other plot is like, I have cancer. And I've been free of cancer. And now I'm growing cannabis in my backyard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we're having a funeral, but then also another funeral and then another funeral. But also yes. There are unidentified flying angels that either you can look at and redeem. Like, and, you know, this is the thing that also doesn't make sense. You can look at the UFA, right? And you can glean such importance from it, or it can kill you. Like, there's no in-between.
So did they all die at the end? No, they don't.
Yeah. So it's like, why does... this is interesting. Like, did one UFA be like, we need some more, you know, labor
but
up here?
But I don't think the UFA killed him. I think he was just so surprised he died of a heart attack from seeing it.
Well, right. But, like, were the other people expecting... Well, I guess they kind of...
They were. Like, it's a rumored thing already. You wouldn't be, like, out of nowhere.
I guess that's true. Yeah. It's hard to describe what this movie really is. It's hard to describe the vibe of it. Other than it's the most chaotic thing.
What would you sell your soul for?
You sell your soul for?
Like, if you were a member of this town and you had the opportunity to for anything, what would you sell it for?
It wouldn't be pop star?
What is that your dream?
I've heard, yeah. Well, as my vision board says, the ultimate goal is just to be Hannah Montana. So
you would sell your soul to be Hannah Wait, Montana.
Imagine you sell your soul to be Hannah Montana and you end up being this person who's the pop star. That 1,000% would happen to us.
Us? Why would we both wish for that?
Fine, it happened to me.
Yeah, it happened to you. That would not happen to me. I would not sell my soul to be Hannah Montana.
Right. Flop fan.
Okay. I'm fine with that. As long as they don't end up as knockoff Miley Cyrus.
What would happen is if we both sold our souls, right, to be pop stars, I'd be like...
You'd be Liam Payne featuring Quavo. You know. We would be that duo.
1,000%. We'd be not selling out stadiums everywhere.
Just one hit. Strip that down. The universe is like, you know, they talk so much about this. This is what they deserve. We wanted to be Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak, and we got Liam Payne featuring. That's it. That's the iconic duo that we are. Definitely, we would definitely be like the idiots who wish upon a star and then get something that we really didn't want.
Yep.
So love that for us.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the movie. Would you say go watch it? I kind of would.
If you want to laugh this holiday season, watch it.
Don't put it on for Christmas, though.
Yeah, don't talk to your family like, let's watch a Christian movie together in the spirit of Christmas, mm-hmm. and then it be this movie. Because it definitely does not have Jesus in it. It barely has Bigfoot.
But it does have 12 funerals.
It's like, it has, and trauma. Trauma, and funerals, and selling your soul to the devil is what you got with this movie.
And marijuana.
Right, exactly. It's just so strange.
Like, but, I guess it's a drama? Question mark?
It's what is it? It's not really a drama. Well,
it's not really a, it doesn't try to be a comedy.
It's not science fiction.
No, but it's also
like whatever Birdemic was, whatever that was, this is. I don't know what that is. Experimental film? Like,
yeah, an art film.
And yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. That's Bigfoot, UFOs, and Jesus. Now we're going to transition to the book review.
Right. What are we reviewing?
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Cabin Fever.
Roderick tried his best to look cool up there in front of the church today, but it's really hard to pull that off when you've got a pair of maracas in your hands. Don't try out for praise band with maracas, I guess is what that's trying to say. Advice from that. I was going to read it again, but I actually closed the book, so I have no idea what page that was. You know, if you're ever trying to look cool, honestly, I don't really know. Just don't try to look cool. That's my advice from that. Like, you know, in situations where you're like, oh, I'm going to try to look cool. 9 out of 10 times, if you had to ask yourself that or think that to yourself, you're probably going to look not cool at all. And it's probably going to be catastrophic. So just don't try to be cool. Don't even try. That's my advice. It makes no sense.
But there's one page in that album I didn't like because Roderick always teases me about it. It's the one where I had a breakdown before a pony ride at the state fair. Roderick always says that I was scared of the pony, but that's not true at all. I was scared of the guy handling the pony, but Mom cropped him out of the picture. Advice from that. Two bits of advice. One is direct advice about this, and one that relates back to a real-world event that I saw. The first thing is, you know, sometimes when you look at a picture or you read something, context matters, right? So give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they look petrified in a picture because of the person taking the picture or stuff that's happening around them. Like, we don't know what's happening with people, so try to give them the benefit of the doubt. That's my general advice. My direct advice is, Ruby's picture from Spirit Week next to a horse is a perfect example of it, because you look at the picture and be like,
"You've seen that picture?"
Yes, of course. If you look at the picture, you'd think, "Oh, Ruby doesn't like being next to the horse." But it's important context to realize that the whole event was a shit show.
Not that. I was standing on the tine shavings we spent like 6 hours looking for. I'm like, I'm so glad that I spent that long looking for this just to stand on it with a horse.
Right. So, but my point is, like, you wouldn't know that just by looking at the picture necessarily as to why you don't look thrilled to be there. But the context matters. It's a perfect
standing
example.
Standing on tine shavings in that photo?
I think so, yeah. So, I mean, it's not a terrible picture, but you don't look thrilled to be there.
What do you mean it's not a terrible picture of me? That just, like, adds to the fact that you've probably never seen it.
I have seen it. I know I've seen it.
How can you say that's a good picture of me?
I'm saying it's not a terrible picture.
Are you kidding me right now? Oh my gosh. This photo, you're going to tell me that this photo is not a terrible photo of me. This is the worst thing ever. Literally ever. I've had other friends who've been like, why do you look so miserable in this? I'm like, literally, you don't even understand. I'm standing on top of tine shaving. Like, there's a whole story of that. I look so miserable. It's like...
But my point is, right? Like, if I were just looking at this picture, I would think you're miserable because you're next to a horse, that you don't like horses, right?
I would try to not look miserable in the first place. Like, that's the face I'm giving right now, is like trying to not look miserable.
Is that what that is? Yeah. But, you know, the context matters. There's the tine shavings. There's the whole like, that Spirit Week
the
going
fact
on around
they made
us.
Me wear a cowboy hat and this, and it's like.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the advice. You know, context matters in a picture or anything you look at. It's important. Take it into account. And yeah. And if it's a sweet, what is his name? Well, I don't know if I should give his name, but the sugar daddy that reached out to us, maybe there's context we don't know about.
We gave all those, that we gave that one picture context.
We did.
Right.
You're welcome.
Everything.
Anyway, that's our episode though. Anything we should plug?
Okay, go for it.
Oh, great. Okay. Twitter, everything time. Don't know why I started with that, but here we are. Facebook, everything is tine, or is that not a thing?
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, cool.
It's still there.
Instagram, everything is tine. TikTok, everything is tine. Really, the ones that are the most active are on our like Instagram and TikTok, just FYI. And then there is our other Instagram account of the Friendly 20s, which, as you described before, is about the 1920s, but also not about the 1920s.
We're historians, so, you know, takes
really,
a while.
We're just trying to overtake the History Channel with that one Instagram account, which we're pretty close already.
Honestly, you know? I feel like we could probably make quite a few followers just, like, cropping us into photos in the 1920s and 1980s and being like... No, it's just like the Wishbone series, but a series of pictures of us in different places.
Honestly, being compared to the Wishbone series is a compliment.
Honestly, I want to watch it again, but I'm really scared.
I'm scared.
Because I don't want to watch it after JJ the Jetplane. Although we knew JJ the Jetplane was going to be a disaster. Although I still feel like if JJ the Jetplane was narrated and only narrated, it would still be just as bad. Because then it'd just be the narrator singing random songs and then just planes flying in the background, which is insane.
It would be bad, but it wouldn't. No, it would still be bad.
Yeah.
But, the Friendly 20s is actually just about being in your 20s and stuff that you learn along the way, or that we're learning along the way, and advice if we have it about things. So
if we have it, sometimes we have it, sometimes we don't.
Yeah, no. It's both an advice column and also a cry for help. No.
Yeah, we're gonna start like the new year, right? New us, new year. We're gonna start like we'll give advice, and then we're gonna ask people to give us advice.
Mm.
You know, back and forth. Yeah. It just like an influx of a bunch of people being like, this is what you need to do.
Get help. I don't know. That's our episode. Hope everyone has a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.